You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
One pill makes you lonely. DIY and Howl Studios presents from Toronto, Canada. Muses and Stuff with your hosts, Shanti and Lynx. Part of the Rock and Roll Archaeology Network of podcasts. Music. Culture, technology, and rock and roll. So grab those backstage passes and let's get to the show.
Thank you so much for having us. I've been a fan for a long time, so it always means a lot when you really... Well, you know what? We just do this ourselves. We don't work for anybody, so we don't talk to bands who we don't like. So,
exactly. Wonderful. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, you ought not do what you don't want to do.
We don't do what we don't want to do. We only do what we want to do. What? So that wasn't a question. Don't worry.
For listeners, could you introduce yourselves and role in the band?
I am Ryan Goldemont. I sing and play guitar and write some songs.
I'm Jasmine Parkin. I sing and play keys.
I'm Molly Goldemond. I sing and I play the synth, and I also do the artwork.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So we've just wrapped up October, and you seem like a real spooky bunch.
Do we really?
You do. You know that you do.
Yeah.
Did you dress up? And what did you dress up as?
I'm
Halloween.
Just trying to be myself these days. That's what this album's all about. It's about being yourself. I actually hate dressing up. I hate Halloween. Hate's a strong word. Actually, I don't hate it, but I don't like dressing up. Yeah, that's that. What were you?
Well, I don't want to answer. I also hate Halloween. No, I went out as Mia Wallace. And
from Pulp Fiction.
Oh, okay. And I'd wanted to do it for a few years, and then I had a Halloween party and I did a live reenactment of her.
The dance,
I didn't have a Vince Vega, I didn't have the that dance, but I did the girl you'll be a woman soon, pretended to find the cocaine in the pocket, turns out it was heroin, sniffed it on the ground.
I did it
my whole self, and then last year I was David Byrne in the big suit from Talking Heads.
Nice. That's pretty sweet.
You're my hero.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
In all honesty, we flew yesterday, and so the whole day kind of revolved around like getting ready to fly and then flying, and then we got in late, so we went to bed. So it's very boring. None of us dressed up. So, sorry.
I didn't even eat a single piece of candy. Not one. It was so disappointing.
I had a little bit left over. I should have brought some.
Well, at least, you know, today is a day of celebration. You know, we're here to talk about your new album and Dance and Cry comes out November 2nd.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Awesome. Amazing, tomorrow? Yeah. Can you tell us about the album and Dance and Cry can mean so much to so many people. Like, what does that mean to you?
Who's dancing? Who's crying?
Well, yeah, I do a bit of both, to be honest. Yeah. But, okay. So Dance and Cry, it's obviously kind of like a dichotomy, but, it's meant to symbolize how connected opposites are in life and how opposites sort of need each other in order to give context to themselves. That's a pretty vague answer. Basically, it's like about healing, and one needs to really own and get to know their pain in order to get to the other side of it and become good and become peaceful and strive towards something better. And I think that was born from my own experience. I was having a tough time in life, and it was time to write this record. And it was like, okay, how am I going to do this without it becoming too morose? I wanted to write something hopeful and motivational and positive, but yet I was kind of in a dark space. So I used that as an avenue to find those more positive themes. And then a song like Dance and Cry kind of surfaces, and it's like those that's a great title. That could be a good overarching theme, and then you start fleshing it out from there. Yeah.
We spoke with Fred Penner on, I think, this very street around, and I feel like he said a couple of like similar things. Like Fred Penner was really on the same wavelength as you. He's deep.
He seems cool. Yeah.
He's like a really cool guy.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Does that remind you of him?
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Comparison for Ryan.
Yeah, I usually get Billy Idol, but I can...
You can connect.
Yeah, I'd love to connect with Fred. Yeah.
No, that's wonderful. I took a whole year off last year just to heal and cry and dance and...
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. You got to.
Sometimes you need it.
It's tough out there.
Yeah.
So this is your seventh album. Do you approach each one differently, or do you have a method of creation that, you know, your process normally takes?
Well, if you're lucky, the songs just fall from the sky and you chase them around. But that doesn't always happen. The last couple of records was a bit more arduous. Like, I kind of had to pry the songs out of some place that they wanted to stay hidden from. And I was tired of doing it that way, like showing up at the workbench and laying down a beat and singing gibberish until a lyric formed, like that kind of architectural method. I was tired of doing that. I wanted this to be more organic and more abstract and experimental. So this record differs from many of the records, from most of the records, in how I approached writing it. I kind of like responded to the elements and sounds from the outdoors, or things people would say, or I would write songs born from conversations, or, you know, like bird song. I was really like receptive to things outside of myself and using those as platforms to write songs from.
That sounds so exciting.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah. And I kind of just did different things. Like, I took a trip to Costa Rica by myself, and I was really stringent within lifestyle, like really healthy and meditating a lot, shut out the media, and really disciplined with a work ethic of like writing 8 hours a day for a couple of months. And during that time, like, my channels just kind of like opened up. I got below my thoughts and like into a more feeling heart space, and was just like closer to the muse or something. Like, it was a special time. Yeah, which I think I deserved, because the last couple of records, like, it was kind of uncomfortable writing them. It wasn't necessarily joyous. Got the job done, but this one, yeah, it was, I don't know, transcendental.
The special one.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I was going to ask if you like went to a mountain or something. I had a feeling that maybe you did. Costa Rica works too. Molly, I follow you on Instagram, and seems like you have some really interesting projects and hobbies outside of music, including mask making.
Oh yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your art outside of music, or within?
Yeah, most of my art these days is within music. That's what I do. And I have other projects, like other people come to me and I create their images for them too. What I'm really getting into right now, stemming from this album and like the photographic side of things, is I'm like, I kind of want to get into photography. I want to go and like do the darkroom thing. And so that's where I'm going to be heading. And that's what my focus is on right now. Yeah.
Wicked. When I called you guys spooky, I just kind of meant like sometimes things... and maybe because I came like as a fan really early too. I think I came during Oh My Heart. And I'm wondering if you have ever heard of this podcast that has listeners who are called Murderinos. So people who are really interested in true crime and like the macabre. Have you heard of this?
I have a friend like that.
Yeah.
She loves like serial killer
exactly,
podcasts.
Exactly. Are you into that at all?
I'm not.
Okay.
She always is trying to get me into it. I used to be into like witchcraft and that kind of thing, like in junior high. I painted my nails black and was like really watching all the horror movies and thought I was like on the other side. Yeah, I know. It's kind of embarrassing, but now people know.
Well, speaking of witchy shit and Instagram accounts, you've put some tarot cards up on yours, right, Jasmine?
Uh-huh.
Do you read tarot cards? Do you...
Not professionally.
Like
I'm like the worst bastardized version of tarot card reading. I like tools. And I believe in things probably that a lot of people don't believe in, and that works for me. And so I just use tarot like pretty much on a daily basis to like, I just feel like there's guides, and I feel like I'm trying more and more to be connected to that sort of like whatever it is, a guide or an internal guide. And I think tarot is just one of the ways to do that. So I use them a lot. Sometimes multiple times a day.
Great. Well, I brought my shamanic healing oracle
wondering.
Cards because it's November.
It's
November, and it might be nice for everybody to pull one at the end just to kind of see what message you're getting for the coming month.
I was having a bit of like a panty about not having my tarot cards with me. I was like, oh, I should have flown with them. I should have brought. It's only 2 days, which is just hilarious. So I saw the box and I figured the box was used for like headphones or something, but I'm really happy there's tarot cards in there.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite decks.
Totally.
So speaking of, you know, connecting and everything, what kind of things do you guys do to promote your mental and emotional wellness while you're on tour or making an album? Is that something that you're always mindful of?
Yeah, we're a pretty healthy bunch at this time of our lives. On tour, yeah, like it's pretty important to exercise and eat well. And there's a few meditators in the band. I think that's a really great tool just to keep those crazy thoughts at bay. Yeah, you know, just like not falling down too many cyber rabbit holes. For me, that's really good. You know, sometimes I just decide to do all of the right things, like for 2 weeks or for 2 months or for a year, you know, and there's such a huge improvement with the quality of living. Like if I just do everything right, you know, and just read and you know, no passive entertainment, and eat well and exercise and meditate and be creative and nurture my relationships and stay present. It's like things just like glow, but it's hard to keep up. It really is, because it's like work. And not everybody does it. Society doesn't really advocate for it. They kind of want you to null out. And so you do. And then it's like, wow, it was way better in the light. It was way better when, you know, I was really striving for something bigger. But yeah, it is hard to keep up. But, you know, we do what we can.
Good.
Yeah. Good answer. No, we do. Yeah, we're healthy. We're very healthy. We're conscious of eating and exercising and just... Molly and I are pretty much, like, off the stage, makeup off, brush the teeth, in our bunk. Like, that's... Yeah. Like who can beat
face
the other?
Oil,
yeah.
And,
oh yeah. All
know,
the
just
all the tricks.
Yeah, I'm usually in bed by a solid 9:30 every night. But Yeah, I'm an elementary school teacher 5 days of the week. So it's great. And with just like staying present and promoting wellness, like I'm so happy that it's in education right now because things are really starting to fall apart at about grade 8 where like the social media takes hold. So there's a lot of like mental wellness and mental health initiatives in our schools right now, which is really good.
That's nice we really to need hear. That.
Yeah. So Lynx and I have a podcast, and it started because we were really interested in women such as Anita Pallenberg and Marianne Faithfull, so like the women who have been wives or girlfriends or groupies or muses to like rock stars. But it branched out because we were always like, who's that woman beside the, you know, so it branches out to like our latest episode is with Dorothy Carvello. So she worked at Atlantic Records since 1987 under Ahmet Erdogan,
the first female
A&R executive. And she just wrote a book about her time. Yeah, it's called Anything for a Hit. It's so good. And she calls out just a lot of stuff. And Ahmet also did the rock and roll. He started the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So she really talks about being a woman working in music in the, you know, 1980s and beyond. And I'm so happy that you're here, but we originally thought it was going to be, you know, a girl time.
Oh, is this the girl interview?
Oh, well, Ryan's here. It's so perfect.
No, this is great.
I can leave.
It's nice. Ryan's in touch with his feminine side, it's perfect.
Plus, you know, it's like... It's great.
Well, I saw on the
press sheet there was one interview that was it was all girls, and I was like, "That's great! I get to have a breather." And this is that one.
Yeah.
This is the one. Okay, I'm out of here. You guys have a good rest of the interview. Ciao.
So a lot of the times when we're talking, when we know that we're specifically coming in with women, I feel like now it's this kind of thing where almost there's like a pressure that we have to talk about some things, you know, right. Like yeah. Maybe last year or a year and a half ago when we were doing the interviews, we could, you know, kind of keep it fairly light. And a lot of the times it's going to a little bit of like we're getting heavier, right? Mm-hmm. Because now we feel like it's our duty as women who have microphones to talk about what's going on in the entertainment industry, which is why I brought up, you know, Dorothy, for example. Do you feel like these conversations, these interviews that you've been having have been taking that sort of direction a lot more in the last 3 months, 6 months, a year?
Maybe not just as far as what's been happening for us. We haven't had a lot of stuff going on. So we've been like pre-record release and that kind of thing. So there hasn't been a ton. But I was recently asked to come and speak on a panel of women in music. And I think more and more of that is happening. That was sort of around like the Skookum Fest stuff in Vancouver, which was a big festival that happened. And so people are just seemingly organizing more stuff for us to sort of get together and sit around tables or sit on panels and chat to other women, like whether they're aspiring musicians or whether they're really established. There was like, you know, everyone seems to be wanting to share, which is really, really nice, you know? So
I think the main thing right now is just to get women visible, like get us out there so young girls see women. And it's normal. It's not like unique. It's not like you have to be special to be a rock star or special to be a physicist and a woman. It's just like normal. Like men have grown up their entire lives and it's like men do everything. So I can do everything. You don't have to be special. So there is pressure for women to get out there, but we don't really have to say anything super poignant. Just be there, be strong, like do stuff, show other women, show young girls that you can do stuff. And that's important. So put the pressure, take the pressure away and just show up.
Yeah. So throughout this podcast, we tell stories about women who have, you know, supported the rock star or had some sort of part in building them up. And we've come to sort of realize some hard truths about, you know, people that you build up. And that's good though, you know, to bring people down. We're all human. And we were wondering, could you tell us, you know, from your years of experience, a rock and roll cliche that is not true and a rock and roll cliche that is?
Well, I think the one that comes to mind immediately for rock and roll cliches, and having worked with like many different like man bands, yeah. Is that there's a lot, there were and perhaps still are a lot of bands who for sure are taking advantage of the young ladies that come to shows, mm-hmm. and it's been really, really normalized. So that cliche probably very much still exists and has existed, and we've seen it firsthand many times. Anything that you can think of?
The unhealthy lifestyle is like a cliche that kind of isn't really true as much. Like, I was shocked to like see all these bands, and like most of them are like gargling, don't like smoke or drink, and like they do all of like these meditating things, yeah. and like this is like hardcore bands. You're like, okay, yeah. like I was imagining like all sorts of nastiness going on behind stage, and they're yeah. like, no, I have to have my tea and my yoga, and it's like, so that's like, yeah, there's like a facade yeah. around it, like.
Yeah, if you want to stick around, you can't yeah. really be doing that.
You have to take care of yourself. Yeah. Like, that's how it is,
yeah.
especially the older you get. Like, yeah. you can't be treating your body in an abusive way.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And then just because you've been, you know, this isn't your first rodeo. You've done lots of interviews before. Is there anything that you don't get asked that you want to talk about? Like, any questions that you wish that people would ask you instead of just the...
No, I don't like being asked questions.
Okay, so just no
you?
Questions.
It's funny. It's so interesting you bring up this topic because, like, yeah, it's difficult sometimes to answer questions in interview settings, for sure. There's nothing that I'm like, oh, I wish someone would ask me about this, because I don't particularly have anything burning. Mm-hmm. But I think it's nice that you guys, like, for example, picked out things from the Instagram or had something to ask us more specifically. I find, like, in the interview settings a lot, it's about the songs and about the stuff that's, like, very Ryan-centered, which is great. He's awesome. But there's not always a ton I can contribute specifically, because I have a very certain role. I do a certain thing, and I could probably talk for hours about that, like what that is. But it seems like there's less questions about that. That just came to mind. But yeah, thank you for asking.
Okay.
In closing this, outside of music, what are you passionate about right now? What's giving you life right now?
I'm really into reading about anthropology. I love art, as you know. I love photography. And I'm into this women's rights new movement. I'm into reading about it and learning about women from the past as well, like that have done amazing things that we've just never heard about. So that's kind of a passion for me.
Great. I had a bit of a nervous breakdown recently, so I'm on like a self-help, self-love kind of kick at the moment, and that's kind of giving me life. I'm reading a Pema Chodron book that's really beautiful, and I'm doing this wonderful exercise every day where you look at yourself in the mirror and you tell yourself you're beautiful and you love yourself. And it sounds really stupid, but actually, like, something happens with your subconscious mind, and it'll inform your conscious mind over time. So it's like the rule of three times every single day. And apparently, eventually, your subconscious can't differentiate between what you believe and what you don't believe, and it starts to, like, seep in. So, self-love.
Love it.
Perfect. Yeah.
That's amazing.
You passed the mic over.
I get to speak? Oh, I'm pretty one-dimensional. I just like music and pouring love into this band. That seems to be really what I'm doing most these days. But I do like poetry, you know, and not to be like, there's a pretension around that perhaps, but like, I just like sitting there and reading it and without even having to understand it. I really like words, and I like that medium a lot. And I like the idea of potential. Like, I like thinking a lot about how to become a more effective and a multifaceted, high-performing human. Like, really graduating to that, like, ninja status, like The Rock, Like, I like following, like, these guys on Instagram, like The Rock or, like, David Goggins. And these guys, like, Navy SEALs. It's like, wow, those guys, they don't do what everyone else does. They really take this living a life business to the next level. Yeah. And that really intrigues me. Not to say that I do that, but maybe I'll get there one day. It's a goal to become really adept at life. And not just do a bunch of things, but be happy while doing a bunch of things. That's the most important part. Be like enlightened, happy, at peace while like crushing it and doing a bunch of different projects.
Hear, hear. Cheers to that. Thank you so much. It was a real pleasure speaking with you. And I can't wait to listen to the new album and watch you perform tonight.
Yeah.
Thanks,
guys. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Muses and Stuff is produced by Chantel Lemieux and Link Soler. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Please visit rockandrollarchaeology.com for more information.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.